Welcome everyone, we're here at Adastana for the Buddhist Center Online podcast, and we've been bringing you coverage all weekend of the Conscious Surrender to the Beautiful, the Arts Weekend that's happening to mark Sangharakshita's 90th birthday, a very large gathering of the Tri Ratna Buddhist Order, over 400 of us in the slightly wet English summertime, but it's still lovely. And we're here to really bring the coverage slowly to an end with two international order conveners who are holding responsibility for this event. And we'll do it, let's do it under the moniker of Parami's Perspectives, because we have Parami with us.
Hi everybody, from Adastana. And I would like to say that that gentle rain that Chandradasa mentioned was yesterday afternoon, in fact, a monsoon.
It was a monsoon, we'll come back to that. And we have a special guest, or Parami has a special guest this week, which is her commander-in-chief, cohort, fellow superhero, other half, Lokeshwara.
Hello. And I'd just like to say that although we had a monsoon, it's been pretty good weather the rest of the time.
It has been.
Because a lot of people are camping outdoors.
So hey, we're really here to sort of, you know, we try and bring some perspective to the whole event. One thing around the weather, and this event being at Adastana, I was talking to somebody this morning at breakfast and saying why I preferred coming here for these events than where we usually go, which is a big school, big college in England. And I was saying, even with 400 people here, you never get the sense that we overwhelm the landscape. Mm-hmm. It can be, you can be in the dinner queue surrounded by hundreds of people and you're still aware of the trees all around you. Whereas when it's all flat and mowed, and you both live here, have you had a sense of the landscape being in a way made more by people being here?
Yes, definitely. In fact, and it does feel spacious. We've got a big field here, so even though there's 200 people camping, they're spread out. You can see the Malvern Hills in the distance. You can see the church tower of the local village in the other direction. And, you know, there's a gentle breeze that blows through. And, you know, the field just looks beautiful, even with that many people, you know, tents popping up everywhere. I've been living here more than a year now. I still have a sense of wonder each day. It's not an exaggeration to say that. When I get up in the morning and walk down to the edge of the property and back up again, there's just something happening. There's wildlife, there's birds, it's beautiful. Mm. Yeah.
Look where you live.
Yeah, quite. You know, it's been quite extraordinary having this number of people here. We've been preparing for this event quite intensively, I mean physically preparing for the event, for a couple of weeks here at Adastana. And there was a bit of a sense of, like, there was real excitement in the preparations and a real sense of, like, yeah, just, it was fantastic that everybody was coming here. I have to say, there was also in a number of us a bit of a sense of 400 people?
That's right.
Really? Where are they going to go? You know, actually, it seemed amazingly spacious.
Well, you stood up at the start and said, you know, you were both very generous in the sense that you were recognising this is the first event and inviting everybody just to kind of keep their expectations nice and grounded and give you good feedback if things didn't work. My sense has been this has been incredibly smooth. I know that's because you put tons of work in, but it doesn't feel like the first event of this scale. Mm-hmm. I mean, hard to do well.
Well, I think a number of factors contribute to it. I think it's been a successful weekend. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No.
And I think a number of factors. Sure, I think the preparation and thinking it through, the team here at Adastana, just thinking through all the practical things like where do we serve food, you know, that kind of thing, I think it's made a big difference. But also the order have just come, you know, people have just come really open-hearted and just really wanted to be here.
Mm.
And I think that makes a big difference. And then, of course, we've got Bhante living here still at the heart of it. And the fact that it was around his 90th birthday that we'd arranged this weekend, I think all of those things just mean people have come in a very positive spirit. And somebody said to me yesterday, Adastana can absorb the numbers. And I thought that was quite a nice way of putting it, because even though it rained yesterday and I got caught in the rain with my dinner, having finished serving up dinner, I was just about to leave the awning that was sheltering the servers and the heavens just opened again. So I'd made a run for the dining room thinking it's going to be absolutely packed in here because it's raining. And there was loads of seats. So people were obviously finding little nooks and crannies to go and sit in. And that's been one of the things I've loved about this weekend, is just seeing every little corner of Adistana where like two or three Orda members sitting chatting or something happening. Yeah. And, that's just been such, fantastic.
Very relaxed. I could be projecting here, but one of the things that struck me is that it's felt like a very generous event all round. And actually the fact that people were just invited to come, and that was the main thing, just come. And here's what it costs us, pay what you can forward towards that, but that sense of just there's an invitation from this place to come and in a way sort of take possession of it all together, like this is our home.
We really wanted people to have a sense that it's a place, a home for the order, so it's their place as well. It's not just, you know, the community that live here, we're just custodians of it, if you like, but it belongs to everybody who comes here. And so we really wanted to get that sense across, didn't we? So plus, I mean, not only in that sense of generosity, but also so many people brought things with them for the event, artworks or their talents and skills and so on and so forth. So all of that has contributed to the weekend, I think.
Yeah. It's been a whole stream, hasn't it? There's always something being given. Yeah. And that's sort of the concert yesterday.
Yeah.
People had no idea, people I've seen for years had no idea they had those skills and those talents, and they just stood up and offered them.
One of the things I really loved in that front is that the pop-up events, as we've called them, and the performances, so people have offered their skills and talents. And yesterday afternoon we had a classical concert recital happening in the lecture hall, absolutely cram-packed, and then at exactly the same time, there was a stand-up comedy routine happening in one of the tents in the field. And I bumped into somebody who was saying, oh, I can't decide whether to go to the stand-up comedy or the classical recital. And I just thought, isn't it fantastic that we can hold both of those things, and it's an arts event. And both the speakers that we've had so far have talked about the importance of the arts, but also have talked about, in a way, a kind of hierarchy of arts. But also we can hold all of those things, and I've just loved that. I think that's been fantastic. And the kind of, the generosity of people just saying... In fact, I had really wanted to go to the classical recital, but because of setting things up for Banty coming over to the event yesterday afternoon, I wasn't able to go to it. And the pianist... David Erlas, he was...
Akasha Deva.
I bumped into Akasha Deva and I said to him, oh, I'm really sorry I didn't make your recital. And he said, do you want to come and I'll play for you now?
Never
did. And I couldn't, because I was just about to do something. But I just thought, how extraordinary.
That is.
Generosity of this man. He just finished doing a recital. And just because he was just wanting to share something. Actually, I just... about burst into tears. I just felt that was so extraordinary.
Well, happily, I'm going to post it to the internet later so you can have a listen.
Good.
And he was the best dressed man on site.
He was.
You know, I haven't seen Akasha Deva for 10 years. He looks exactly the same. He hasn't aged. Completely immaculate.
I said that to him.
More grace than just about anybody I've ever met in my life. The man gets upgraded just by showing up at airports. So he's amazing.
Said that to him yesterday, not about getting upgraded at airports, but that I said, you look just exactly the same. If anything, you look younger than when I last saw you. Maybe that's why he offered to do a recital for me.
Somebody told me that Akasha Deva does a practice called the Gratitude Bhavana every day. Very interesting.
That's lovely.
Gorgeous.
Underpinning all that elegance and
gratitude.
Yeah. So this event is about conscious surrender to the beautiful for people who don't know the context. And it's really bringing to life, or trying to bring to life as a work in progress, the arts as a distinctive emphasis of our particular approach to the Dharma, our particular Buddhist community, where in a way the arts is a gateway into spiritual life, and it's part of our Western tradition as well. I think we've decided it's a success already. What are your highlights?
Well, actually, one of the highlights wasn't a particular sort of arts event, but it was doing this cloud mantra in the puja last night that Yashodeva initiated. It was something very lovely that we all sat there. We had 15 minutes of meditation on our Yidam, or Buddha Bodhisattva, and then we recited the mantra, our own mantra, but together. So we listened to others as we recited that. And then it got progressively more unified. Then we did the same mantra together, the long Vajrasattva mantra, and then we did the Avalokiteshvara mantra together. And it was just a beautiful, beautiful sort of 30 minutes. I don't even know how long it was. It sort of went outside of time for a little bit. So that's one of my highlights. Also, just wandering about, looking in the different spaces, especially the visual art. I mean, there's been some beautiful, you know, poetry and speaking and so on, but just the visual art that you can go and stand in front of and just sort of take in, some really lovely pieces of sculpture and painting that I've just been able to go back to two or three times over the weekend.
Okay, can I give two?
You can give two.
Yeah, so programme highlight for me was the moment yesterday afternoon of Banti coming and joining us while Kalyana Prabha launched his new book. As much as anything, it was the poignancy of Banti coming in, and there was this extraordinary monsoon-like rain that started about 5 minutes before he was due in.
Complete thunderclaps.
Thunderclaps, you know, and people have been saying to me, oh, it was Padmasambhava. Other people have been saying it's a hot front hitting, you know, cold. Again, the diversity.
I'm sure
of it.
Orwell can have both perspectives.
The
it's
diversity.
It's a coincidence as well.
Yeah. So I love that. But there was something, just watching Banti walk in, and he's on his stick and he's supported by friends, by Buddhadas and Suvadra, and coming in and sitting down in his seat and just thinking this might very well be the last time he joins us in an order gathering. You never know about it, but it might be, and it probably for many of the people in that room, it was the first time for some of them of being in an order gathering with Banti. I think it's about 8 years since he last attended an order gathering in that way. So there was something about the poignancy of that. It was about his birthday. We're at Adistana, which is his home, and that for me was a real heart highlight. And because of where I was sitting in the shrine room next to Banti, I could see everybody looking towards us, and a number of people moved to tears, and I suspect for the same reason, that sense of kind of poignancy.
Hmm. Now, for people listening to this who don't know, Banti is Urgyen Sangharakshita, who founded this particular community, gosh, almost 50 years ago now, amazing.
Yeah.
I found it very poignant too, and there's something about celebrating somebody who's still alive in that very public way. Mm. In a way, it's not very fashionable. It doesn't happen that much unless you're Bob Dylan or something, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like that so many people are willing to come together, and it's grown so much and so wide from the original little core of Order members in 1967, 68 in London. And yet there is that kind of connection all the way back. And there he is in the room, all come out of a little basement in a shop in London.
Yeah, thanks for adding that. That's good to remember that, yeah. My other highlight, which wasn't a specific event, was the barn. So we own a barn here. A barn.
I'm two Scots and Robson Kennedy's thing. People are going, barn? What's a barn?
Lokeshwar, could you translate into English?
Barn.
Thank you,
a barn.
So a cow shed. which we own, but we haven't yet developed. But it's been set up as a kind of cafe. So there's been a fire in there and it's an old washing machine inside made into a fire. And people have been sitting in a circle around it. And a highlight for me was the other night, coming away from there, having sat there for a little bit, listening to some gentle background banjo music, and seeing Lokeshwar appear with a tray with a big pot of hot chocolate.
Aww.
And cups to give to people, and I just thought it was an iconic moment or something.
That's great.
In that practical generosity of Lokeshwar doing that, there was something about this being home, this being, you know, for yeah,
this is your people.
This is our people. There was just something really beautiful about it, and I don't drink hot chocolate, but I rejoiced in this. Yeah, so they're my two highlights that come to mind.
We're going to be going from here soon. We're about to go into the last event, and then all these beings will dissolve back into the ether, as it were, disperse back into the world. What will you take away as Order Communer from this?
Well, in a way, nothing new, but a confirmation of the importance of the Order gathering together, and a kind of affirmation that we definitely made the right decision in buying Adistana.
Yeah, for me, having this format as well of having arts events, what it's done for me is just set off a whole series of sparks of like future events, future possibilities, future weekends, future retreats. You know, I've stood in front of a painting and thought, we could do a whole retreat just on that painting for a week with a group of people. But it's also quite poignant, just to return to that moment of Bhante coming in. When we went back in the shrine later on that evening for puja, there'd been, you know, a gust of wind had come in later, and a little yellow name of Bhante, which had been on his chair, had blown off on the ground. And I just picked it up and thought, I'm going to keep this. I just put it in my bag and thought, I'm just going to put that on my shrine, thinking, you know, who knows? Every time we see him come into a gathering like that, it might be the last time. And I just took it away with me.
It's a lovely image, that the name blowing off the chair. The world goes on. Speaking of the world going on, we're going to go away from here, but Lokeshwara you're going to be hearing a bit more from, because he's about to embark on, well, quite the adventure, and he'll be doing it at least some of the time with us on the Buddhist Centre Online, around the world in 80 days with Lokeshwara, literally 80 days. Do you want to say a little bit about your...
Yeah, well, can I just say the 80 days, because that might just seem... I mean, I'm actually doing order work, so I don't mean to sound it superficial, but the trip actually was going to be something like, when I added up all the places I'm going, it was something like 81, 82 days, and then I realised one day shaved off. So when it got to 81, I thought, I have to make this 80 days. So I'm going, I mean, on order business, I'm going to India first to do a retreat with chapter conveners in Bordaran Retreat Centre on the edge of the jungle in Maharashtra. Then on to Australia, where I've got a few weeks at Melbourne Centre, a convention where Parami will join me, an Australasian order convention. Then I fly to Mexico, where we are having a Pan-American order convention, and then on to San Francisco to meet the order there, then Boston on the East Coast to meet the order there, and then back to the UK on the 19th of November.
Fantastic.
Now, I will see you in Mexico, and in fact on the East Coast, and we'll hear some very good stories, I hope, in between times from you and your travels.
I'll do my best.
You will, yes. We'll make sure you've got the tech sorted. Thanks very much for your time, both of you, today.
Thank you, Chandradasa. And I'd like to just thank you generally for all the work that you've done through this event, you and Manisha and the Clear Vision team. It's been awesome.
Thank you.
And Chandradasa, you're not allowed to edit this bit out.
That's right, yeah.
We'll see.
You are awesome.
Thank you. Well, that's Parmi's perspective all wrapped up for this time. We'll hear more from her again, no doubt, at some point soon. This is Chandradasa with Lokeshwara and Parmi saying goodbye.